Broadcast live from the studios of WUDG Columbus. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the Ohio Center for Broadcasting. You have been warned. What's up, everybody? I am Mike Langer. This is Core Values. I have the group from Magic and Poison in this morning, cast and crew. Actually, it kind of overlaps a little bit in some places, I think. So, say good morning, guys.
Morning!
Hey, there we go. So, we are actually waiting on the director right now to get into a few things, Timothy Clue. So, Lou is out today, unfortunately, with some medical issues. So, it is just me and the Magic and Poison crew this morning. We are going to play a little bit of music, and hopefully Tim shows up here soon. If not, we will just wing it on the underground. Langer. This is Core Values. So, in studio today, we have the cast and crew of Magic and Poison. In charge of this glorious production, we have Mr. Timothy Clue.
It's good to be here.
Tim, tell me a little bit about the play. How did it come to you? How did you come up with this idea?
Well, first, I'm in love with fairy tales. My dad used to read me a lot of fairy tales and fell in love with the imaginative nature of them. And also, as I grew up, become to learn to that they symbolize things that they told about histories, sometimes secretly and sometimes were used to as advice for people growing up. And but most importantly is the fact that I was fascinated that these were passed down through generations. And they're so strange sometimes, and or ironic, or metaphoric, and they just beg to be reviewed and relooked at with each generation. So,
Obviously, there's many different takes on different fairy tales, and some are a little bit more upbeat and happy, and then you get into the grim side of things. And it gets to be more of the dark, the original intent to almost scare children back in those times, and more of a cautionary tale, sort of.
Absolutely.
Now, which way do you lean towards?
Both. The show takes a massive switch between its dark side and its lighter side. It celebrates the darkest of the feel of grim stories, and also becomes very light when it comes to the good guys. It shows a massive balance because that's the nature of fairy tales. Even a story itself can switch from being very light to very dark suddenly. And it was an absolute pleasure to give myself the challenge to write that, especially since a lot of fairy tale based movies and things nowadays tend to just go with the fluffy side of it.
It's funny you say that, because from everything that I've heard, because of course my significant other Samantha is involved with this as well, and the things that I hear from her, it's kind of the darkest of the dark and the lightest of the light, kind of playing with each other and dancing around in this kind of, it sounds like it shouldn't work, but it does, and when it does, I'm really just going to have to come see this thing, because I should have seen it last time when you guys
put
it on.
Yes, you should have.
And with everything that was going on with me at the time, I just did not have the opportunity. So
no, it really bounces around. When you look at the old fairy tales, especially the further that you go back, they become very raw. They become mostly sinister back in the day. And for example, you take the story of Little Red Riding Hood, something that is still told today. If you were to go back to the original, you would find that the story just ends at the wolf. That's the end of the story. She went into the woods wearing a red cape. She's gone. And that shows you the warning nature of it. So when I wrote the script, The Magic and Poison, the evil side takes place. It's based around witches, very common in fairy tales. There's not a lot of funny in it. The humor, when you come to the witch's side, it's mostly ominous. You can feel the strain and the stress. The victim character, the actress is here today. Stirrer is the weakest of the witches, and she finds herself often scolded and manipulated by the others to do work that they want to have done. And like I said, I tried to grab at that dark side of it. The lighter side all deals around the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is where, you know, in most of the fairy tales, the kingdom is usually a good kingdom and their intentions are well in hand. The king, very knowledgeable, very wise, is played in there. Another actor that you'll talk to, Jacob Baird, who plays Prince Charming. I put the spin on Prince Charming that he is not just your atypical good prince, but that he also has things that he needs to learn. He's in his 20s, he feels heroic, but there's still things that he goofs into, and he's going to have to face a lot of challenges, especially from the darker side in the story.
The little bits and pieces that I've seen of this through rehearsals and stuff that I've had to come and grab the kids from. It just seems like you guys have such a good time doing this. And I mean, it wouldn't be worth it if it wasn't, but more than I had expected to see from a thespian group, it feels like there's a lot of good chemistry going on here, as compared to a lot of other shows where you get the infighting and the thing between, in the, you know, the drama between cast members. It kind of feels like this is more of a family.
I'm very grateful actually for that. Some of these people have been my, just friends who became part of the project and learned how to act being in the show. Some of them actually I've worked with in the theater scene across Ohio, and others just came into contact. Just amazingly talented people, and I got to say, just as a passion of mine, I love to work with very talented people, especially ones who have not been discovered yet, just to show the amazing talent that's yet to be tapped.
And actually, as a segue from that, I would like to point out that I have broken the record for the amount of people that I have crammed in this studio before. I think I've got, we got seven of us in here this morning.
Yeah, stay quiet, guys. Make them a liar.
No, so if we just want to pass the mic around and introduce yourselves real quick and say what character, and we'll get in depth and do a little bit with each of you here in a little bit. But, I mean, we have an incredible turnout here this morning. I was not expecting this many people to show up, so I am pretty stoked that I have quite the guest list this morning. So,
all right. My name's Jacob Baird, and I play the role of Prince Charming.
Welcome, Jacob. And we have a recurring guest coming up.
Yeah, I show up every once in a while. I'm Denver Clayton Moore Jr., and I play the role of Gregory the Jester.
Hi, I'm Ashton Brammer, and I play the role of Princess Briar Rose.
Good morning, I'm Ella Pilardi, and I play Stir.
Oh, we also have another one in the room.
He's staying quiet.
Yeah, until now.
Until now.
Hi, my name is Jason Peitzmeyer, and I play Hark the Herald.
All right, that's enough out of you.
So, obviously, we got quite a few people and quite a bit to talk about this morning. Tim, I know you brought some of the music from the play with you. Is there anything in particular you'd like to lead off with?
Yeah, I would love to lead off with the song that actually got a lot of people's attention into this. I feel I owe the song a favor because it's done so well. It is called Drawing Down the Moon, and it is actually plays a very special part in the show when the fairies are actually calling upon the magic of the moon to come and help them. So, yeah, if you can go ahead and play that, it's one of my favorites.
Sounds good. So this is Drawing Down the Moon on WUDG, The Underground. Slight technical difficulty. So that was Timothy Clue with
Drawing Down the Moon.
Drawing Down the Moon. We talked a little bit about, you know, your thought and your process behind coming up with this. What is the basic premise of this? I mean, we've talked about old fairy tales and that sort of thing. Obviously, this is a play centering around a lot of old fairy tales. But I know there's a lot more to that, more to it than that. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah. Well, in order to tie the fairy tales together, the world has been made into a place where there's your regular lands that we live in now and a dying sections of what's called the fabled lands, which is where the magic is. And the fabled lands have progressively become getting smaller and smaller and less available. And the last major piece of land to fall was Atlantis. And when Atlantis sank, its highest mountain still peaked above the ocean, and that became an island called Fabula, which is where the story takes place. And the reason why the witches are there and the fairies and man comes along occasionally who just happens across it and is unaware of the war for the fabled lands. But this puts the premise of why the characters are fighting so hard for this land. You have witches That's who came into the land 1,000 years ago, who has now taken dominance over the land, and they fight off anyone who comes into the land. And but within the land is fairies, goblins, and all sorts of creatures that share it. But like I said, every once in a while, man comes in, and a man kingdom, you know, comes in, and they have to find a clever way of getting the kingdom out of there. Latest one is the kingdom of King Thrushbeard, also a name from a fairy tale. And his son is Prince Charming, and you are currently in that situation when the story begins. Does that start it well?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we don't want to give away too much of the story.
No, that just gets you to the beginning.
Obviously, we don't want to give away too much of the story because we want people to come out and see this. Let's talk a little bit about that, actually. I know before you had put it on at the Northland Performing Arts Center, and you're doing it there again this time?
Yeah, the Northland Performing Arts Center. They were, you know, they saw the vision, and we were original theater company, and that's always very hard for original theater company to establish itself. But they, you know, they heard me explain the vision, and they saw the work and really what the show was all about, and they got into it. They and they've been very, very friendly to us. They're also the theater where Vaudeville of these takes place. But enough about that. and we're very grateful for the facility and the way they treat us.
I can tell you, and you can agree with me or disagree with me on this, but you know, from experience, starting out anywhere is tough, and finding that one person or one group that's willing to help you out, it almost feels like your first new car.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It seems to me that if this show gets the due chance that it deserves, I really believe that it could go a lot further than just Columbus.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We think so too. The reason why we're, you know, with it a second time around is we do believe in it. The story is well put together. I'll give myself a pat on the back because that doesn't always come for me.
Well, you are the writer and director of this as well, so.
And composer. I love and my composer. Music. Music to me is always first. But really, when you're surrounded by an enthusiastic and very talented cast like I have, it truly has brought the this is nice, the quote unquote magic into the show.
I like that. You kind of pulled that right in there. That was nice. So obviously we have a few more tracks to play with. Why don't we talk to some of the cast members, and then we'll play a few more tracks, and then we'll talk about your very exciting Kickstarter campaign that we've got going.
Actually, it's an Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do that.
All right. So first up is...
The first up would be the one who's pointing at someone else. We'll start with Jason Peitzmeier.
You try and pass the buck and you get begged first, man. That's just the way it works in my studio.
I'm just here because I drove someone. Okay.
So, state your name.
My name is Jason Peitzmeier. It's a big, long, ugly word. Starts with a P.
Not even going to go there. So your role in the play again is?
I'm actually a character called Hark the Herald. I'm King Thrushbeard's right-hand man. I'm a fastidious old codger who was OCD before anybody knew what OCD was. I'm pretty much the one who believes that whatever I want for the kingdom is best because I only want the best for the kingdom. And I try to maintain order and discipline.
Do you bring a lot of yourself to this role?
I was actually given the opportunity.
He's a natural.
I'm actually one of the few cast members who was encouraged to write my own lines because they didn't really know how Hark was going to be. And he just said, I pretty much wrote the part for you, so let it out. So I was kind of like the Robin Williams of the cast.
scary and yet exciting at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, considering this is the first thing I've ever done in any kind of theater acting outside of, I think I played the son in an elementary school play. So, you know, this was my first foray into anything, and I loved it, and I'm back for more.
I feel your pain completely. I think the most thespian experience I ever got was as Lord Montague in Romeo and Juliet in high school, so that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It was a definitely a different experience, and I also got to try a hand at battle choreography. I was a battle choreographer for the first run, and for this run as well. And
how many injuries were there?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I think there were two injuries, but the swords took the most damage than anything. In fact, we had a sword shatter into several pieces during one of the actual play runs, and thanks to the improvisation of Prince Charming. Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself calling you king.
Not yet.
But, yeah, Prince Charming jumped in and saved the scene. But it was fun and exciting. I've always had a draw for the Middle Ages and medieval stuff, and play with swords and shields. That was a blast.
I think you just basically described every 6-year-old through 12-year-old kid's dream.
Thanks.
You've got, probably the
greatest
job. I'm
immature. I appreciate that.
Well, you know what they say about us guys.
Yeah, exactly.
We never stop being kids. We just get bigger.
That's right.
I'd like to add that there is one thing about Jason that he's very witty. He's humorous. He's able to improv well. And like I said, for his small amount of experience, he is an amazing talent. I mean, he does his work like he's been on the stage for years.
Thank you.
No, there's no laugh track.
No, yeah.
That was just like that. All right, let's bring it down.
I was
to the serious
for
moment.
Well, thank you.
So right now we are actually going to play another track off the album and do a little bit of other music as well. And then we will be back and we will talk to some of the other cast members and we will talk about the Indiegogo campaign that is now running for Magic and Poison. So we will be back in just a few minutes right here on WUDG, The Underground.